Welcome to Grow Sessions. This is Tony with TSR Grow. Got my good friend Greg Chemdog Krasnowski. I'm butchering your name, brother. How do you say your last name?
It's Krasnowski.
Krasnowski. There we go. That's perfect.
Nice to meet you, Tony.
I'm doing great, man. Well, thanks for setting aside some time and jumping on the podcast with us. This is good. I'd love to usually just super casual conversation. We'll just kind of chat a little bit. Like, it's all about you, man. It's not about me and what we do. I want to just learn about you and where you came from, how you started. I mean, everybody's always got the most unique story in cannabis. And every time I talk to someone, I'm like, this is just great. But where did you grow up? Where did you come from? And then, like, how'd you get into cannabis?
I grew up on the East Coast. I was born and raised in Northampton, Massachusetts. Nice. I've pretty much been on the East Coast my whole life, lived in Massachusetts my whole life. I started smoking cannabis when I was 16, and I started growing when I was 17 because I loved it so much. I just wanted to find that, you know, I'm still searching for that ever, you know, the best pot I could find back then. You know, back then it was a lot of commercially grown, you know, West Coast brought over the border type stuff, flat brick weed, and you didn't see
dry and nasty, dude. Right. Like my brother and I, like the stuff that, like, as a kid, you're like, this is just like back then, you're like, oh, I got this good stuff. It was not good by any means.
Once in a while, you get a bag of really good green bud that someone grew in the area that you would, like, wow, you know, jump right on it.
Had hairs in it.
Yes.
Like bluey or red hairs in it. And you're like, ooh.
And the bags are like this big.
Oh, yeah. This is the good stuff then, but
yeah,
that's all. Sure. So you were growing. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh. Yeah, I started growing when I was 17, actually. The first time I grew, I actually basically went over to my brother's house because he moved out of our house and he had his own apartment. I said, you know what? I'm taking over your closet and I'm going to put a couple plants in here and I'm going to grow some weed in here. So it was a first time run with some bag seed I had found, just some random shit. It was just all right. And then, you know, big Grateful Dead guy. So I was always going to shows, just starting to go to shows when I got my license. So about 17, I was out in, I graduated high school, 1991. And I decided to go on the Grateful Dead tour, the full summer tour. And we went out to, I think it was the second show, June 6th. It was in Noblesville, Indiana, at a venue called Deer Creek Amphitheater. And I saw some guys on Shakedown Street. They were saying kind bud. So I was like, oh, this is great. I need some good flour for tour. Yeah. This is perfect. And they said, this is what I'm selling. It's $125 for a quarter. You can only buy a quarter because we're limiting, you know, everybody's like, can you just get a little bit? And it's called chemweed. Other people call it dog bud. Some people call it chemweed. End up talking to these guys for 15, 20 minutes. I was just blown away. The pot was so green and fluffy and just so smelling, so skunky and just, you know, you don't see much of that around. And it was just so very, once I took a hit off, I was like, wow, this shit's special. It was like, you got so blasted and it just tasted so good. It was probably the best, at that point, it was the best pot I've ever smoked, smelled, tasted, or even had in my life. Wow. And luckily I kept in touch with the guys. I just exchanged phone numbers on a 3x5 index card. And just because there was no cell phones back then. Who knows if they even gave me the right number. You know, I gave them my right number, that's for sure. But I didn't know if I had the right number. Tour goes on. I ended up taking that quarter ounce of chem weed and doling out basically a bowl per show. So I had at least to last the whole tour of that quarter ounce. I'd smoke a bowl during Drums of Space and that would be it until the next show. Basically, after tour ended, I ended up calling these guys out of the wind, be like, that was some awesome pot. I would love to get more. And it was them. And they, I said, I'd love to get more. They had some back in Colorado. That's where they were from. So I end up getting an ounce sent back to Massachusetts at $500 an ounce, straight up.
Wow.
And that ounce actually contained 13 seeds in it. So that's the original story of that. And I ended up starting the Chem 91 in 91. The first four seeds I started, one was a male, one was a Chem 91, which is, back then it was just Chemdog. Now it's coined its name Chem 91 and the 91. And also the Chem Sister came out of those first four seeds. Then years went on, I grew the 91. And then in 2000, I started more of the seeds they were stored in my freezer. And that's when the Chemdog D pheno came about. It was year 2000. I call it my millennial pheno.
That's awesome.
2000. And then back in 2006, there was some sites called the Overgrow and IC Mag and stuff. And I ended up going on Overgrow, starting an account. And it's where people started slowly getting out in the open about their, you know, about growing because it was so back then you could get screwed for it. And I actually ended up linking back up with P-Bud and Joe B, who were the two guys that sold me the flower in Deer Creek.
Holy cow.
I ended up sending them back a couple more of my original 13 seeds. And that's where the chem number four started. They started the chem four out there out of my original 13 seeds.
Holy yeah. Cause you had four originals. Like, oh my God, that's the coolest story.
Yeah. So those are, that's how a lot of those strains were started.
And they've been going out, like people will talk about it now too. And it's like, I hear it. And I think it's funny that it's like, it comes full circle as I've heard about this for years. And now I'm like sitting here on that podcast talking with you. That's actually pretty funny. like all these like cool different stuff that like you basically were the starting genetics guy behind it all.
Yeah. A lot of stuff for sure out there. You know, I'd love to get the stuff. There's, you know, their genome map and stuff now, but it's going to take a little bit. I'd love to see what my stuff's in. I'm sure it's in a lot of stuff that you wouldn't think it's in.
Oh God. Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah. Because it was just good, strong strains.
Exactly. Yep.
I mean, and that's the whole thing is like, I mean, people too, like they prize their seed banks now. And I remember too, like my brother too, like we'd be having, he'd have some weed and he got in trouble. Like I remember watching people get arrested.
Yeah.
Because they had four plants growing up in power lines. I grew up on the Cape. So I grew up in Mass myself.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like my brother and his, but like they get arrested for like the stuff that I do now and the things that I see. He's looking at me like, dude, it's like these, my friends are getting hooked up, thrown in jail.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, there's, I don't remember, but remember a couple of years ago, there was an 86-year-old lady or 76-year-old lady that the National Guard came down in Massachusetts and grabbed her one plant in her yard.
You got to be kidding
me. A wild story. I think, yeah, there was some, but. You know,
they're like the electric bill looked high. I'm like,
I got in trouble for 99 plants and I was still into the legal limits and it was still ended up being federal.
Oh my God. It's just nuts. It's nuts. So how did you transition from growing like on a, we'll call it small or like a caregiver size to transitioning to like a commercial side or how do you move that way?
Well, I really, after I got in trouble in 2011, I got raided and got in trouble, busted. I didn't do no time, but I had to forfeit $375,000, basically every penny that I had took from me. And I was a single father of my son. So I was, that's no reason why they didn't put me in jail, but, and I never been in trouble before, but after that, I kind of took a little break from things and kind of just reassessed everything and got situated. And then, things just started getting more out in the open. It was a little bit more, less, you know, stigmatized as far as that goes. And just, it was more out in the open. So I slowly, it took me a while, honestly, to get basically in 2020, right before COVID or right when COVID was hit. Right before COVID hit, Eric Williams and another guy named Sean Curley came over to my house. First, they actually wanted some glass for me, so I'm a glass bar. So Eric, I'm linked up with Eric. He's the CEO and owner of Canna Provisions, along with Meg Sanders. And they wanted glass for me. So I met up with him and I said, you know, sold him some glass. And jokingly, Eric said, hey, I'd love you to maybe come if you wanted to come work for us. I'm like, you know, I have my own shit going on, brand with some other stuff. I'm like, I would come, I would do some full, you know, some part-time, come in and do some part-time. And it just ended up gelling together. They had the same vision. I had the same vision. They were, you know, Meg and Eric are great owners behind a business that have to actually consume and are into things. So it was a nice win-win situation. And it was a good, it felt like I was at home. So I kind of just transitioned right over with Eric and Meg. And here I am now, 2 years later, 3 years later.
That's pretty cool. I mean, it is awesome. So what about like some of like the strains that you feel like the classic strains that are kind of coming back, like you were saying, like the Chem Dog and the number four. So some of those are coming back, but what are some of the other ones you think that are going to be coming back strong?
I think a lot of the gas skunky stuff is going to come back real strong.
Favorite.
People are getting rid of these, getting sick of these flavorful, tasty purple flowers that everybody loves and tastes, but they just don't give you the punches like these OGs and chems do. And at the end of the day, the chems, just they have their own, they sell themselves. Cause at the end of the day, you just got to smoke it and you're sold.
Yeah. I love gassy stuff. That's like one of my favorites. And I like it because like you say, I want to get there. I want to smell it. Like I just like that. I almost like want it to smell where you can almost taste it.
Yep.
Like that's the coolest thing. And like the stinkier, the better. And then there's, I haven't really met a weed that I don't like. I mean, we'll call it like that, but there's stuff that I prefer.
Right. Or weed that you get sick of. See, I can't just smoke a jar of weed. I got to have like six or seven flavors on tap at all times. I just, it's hard for me to just smoke the same thing all the time. Cause you get almost used to that buzz that it gives you, that high that it gives mm-hmm. you. from what the, you know, all the compounds that are in it, just gives you that same certain one. So I like to switch it up, and also keeps everything, you know.
Well, keeps it fresh for you too,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. And you can tell the good chems too. If you smoke all day and then you go home at night and you roll up a joint, like I'll roll up a joint at Chem D, and I'll get blasted still. And I know that's when you can tell the weed's good.
Yeah, the weed's really good. Well, it goes back to like there's so many people that, and it might not even be the super high THC. It might, I mean, it's like Terps Tac, like what's in it? Because I've smoked stuff that it's been low in THC, or at least, you know, big, you know, 19, right. 20, 21. And I feel way higher than stuff that's in the 30s. Like that, and like it's almost a better high too.
I have a 12-13% white runs here. That people are like, oh, I don't want to buy it. But if I guarantee, if I blinded those people and then fed them this, and this, they're going to get high and not even know it was a 12%er.
And that's like the cool things. Like I go to so many different cultivations all across the US. I mean, I'm based in Rhode Island. So it's like, it's cool. Like I get to go to places, but someone's like, no, you got to try this. I'm like, all right. I'm like, I've never said like, if someone's like, hey, I'm going to give you this one nug. I'm like, let me know what you think. I'm like, I'm texting them later. Like, like this is so cool. Like that was a nice little run. But yeah, it's fun as hell. Now as the going down like the future, like some of the things that you see like with Canada Provisions, what do you feel like the direction is with them? Like what do you like, are you guys gonna, I'm sure you're doing all the distillates and all the extracts and all the, you know, all the different product.
Yeah. Right now, actually, Tony, we're doing some collabs with TreeWorks. They're in Massachusetts also, of some live rosin carts and live rosin, you know, just hash to dab. And I'll tell you, it's some of the best in Mass. It compares to any.
It's really coming out nice.
Any 710 labs, any laser cat, it's right there with it all. So I think we're going to be entering some stuff and some cups of that stuff. But if you have a chance, please try our live rosin carts. And
oh, for sure. I definitely, I'll have to come out. One of our customers last week at the Cannabis Cup. So Bountiful Farms, they just won.
Yeah.
So they won first place. All their stuff is grown underneath our fixtures, which is pretty cool. Nice. So they're growing some fire. And then all the product, I don't want to say it's a byproduct, but it's all the product that aside from flower that they're deriving it from.
Yeah,
they're saying it's just their yields are just insane, and like their terps and the tastiness and all the stuff. I'm like, this makes you feel good, in like in a roundabout way. Like, no one knows who we are, which is, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
but I'm like, pat myself on the shoulder.
Going back in the legal market with being with Megan Eric at Canada Provisions, they have two stores, so it's like I get to see the product go right into the stores, down to the people. It's like I get to see the whole aspect. I'm not just growing flower and we sell it to all 20 stores and it just goes. You know, so it's kind of nice. That was one of the other reasons I liked coming on board with them too. Just the whole, you know, the whole big picture. And like I said, we plan on doing a lot of live rosin stuff with TreeWorks. We are in the middle of probably getting our processing license to do some bubble hash, you know, infused joints, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And a lot of good stuff. You know,
that's so cool.
Just did a biscotti mince that came in at 34% and at one, almost 2% terps on it.
Oh my God.
So that's pretty good.
That's huge.
Weekend. Yeah. And the apple fritter came back at 28% and the chocolate peaches also came back at 29%. Both of over 1.5% terps.
Like so, the flavor must just be like so good, like insane and intense. Yeah. Now, do you find what is your style? I mean, can you share what your growing style is?
Yeah, we're growing in soil.
Okay.
Soil under HPSs.
Yeah.
You know, our fertilizer is our fertilizer. That will, you know. But as far as we're using double ended Gavita 1000 watt HPSs. We're using Bios 365 soil, which is a great soil.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're just growing regular, you know, kind of a little old school method, but not, you know, and we're using, you know, we're trellising them in so that the whole canopy is flat, you know, like hub see behind you, like we fill in all the spots so it lays.
Yeah,
flat.
You scrog it out probably. Scrog it out real nice. Yeah, I want to say you can actually see what behind my head there, you can see the zip tie. That's where their scrog is.
Yep.
So like this ends up being like if I was stood up and took a picture, it'd look nice and even. They grow like super even rows. And these are those rolling rack, rolling tables left and right. Yep.
We got the same Botanicare rolling tables.
Yep.
But as far as it goes, just simple, you know, regular. Not too crazy.
Sometimes simple is okay. Like they've done it for like that for a long time. And then other than like HPSs, you can still grow great product. I mean, it's not there's so many people that are still growing that way in like big facilities, small facilities that grow on fire, and it's awesome. But yeah. like, as things have started to change and like you say, it's like all of a sudden electric is silly.
Right.
You're like, and then I think a lot of OG growers were not really familiar with like growing under like an LED or, and we've been in LEDs for a long time, and they were, I'll call it, they were shitty. Like, you know, five, 8, 10 years ago, they were garbage. I mean, now it's, there's some really nice stuff that's out there that like people, when they see it, or I'll tell them like who our customers are or who's using them, or if they want to go see a grow, and they're like, oh, okay, let's go check it out. They go look, and they're looking around like, holy shit. And like, they grew this with that. I'm like, they sure did. Because it's so old, like everybody just thinks, oh, I can't grow. I can't get my terps. I can't get this. I can't get that. It just, they haven't experienced it yet. You know, it's just
a knowledge. At the end of the day, Tony, I'm going to say it's all about having good genetics too.
Oh my God.
As far as that goes, people, you can grow. I mean, the first time I grew Chem 91, it came out awesome. And I, you know what I mean? I'm not the professional grower back then. It was my first grow.
Yeah.
It just came out. So I've learned over the years that definitely genetics is probably the most important thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot of subpar seeds out there. There's a lot of crap out there that's just okay. Showbud, I call it. It looks great. Tastes great, just doesn't get you high, or it just doesn't have any taste. It looks great, get you high, but has no taste. There's a lot of that going on. I'm a wicked taste freak.
Yep.
It's like flavor, you know what I mean? So I liked, yeah.
I think a lot of people too, like just with the internet and with everything that's out there, there's so much more education. People know of like all the consumer, right, in any product, no matter what they're buying, like you can find out so much information with five clicks. I'm like, I mean, you really can. You can find out a whole ton of info. So people are really starting to like do the research and starting to figure it all out, which is awesome. I mean,
I agree. I think it's very important for education. Like that's what we're Canna Provisions. We're really about, you know, educating the people as far as, you know, what you're looking for, kind of where to guide you towards terpenes. We're getting really big into that now because that's what people want to hear. We're really trying to change the numbers the chasers. You know what I mean?
And there's a lot of that out there, and that whatever you do you. Yep. I mean, and that's exactly. there's a spot for everything.
20 years ago, where were our test results? What were we testing? Nothing. What we were using back then?
Yeah. This nose right taste.
Nose and taste. And that was a pretty good indicator, you know.
Or the guy, you know, it's your hookup that was like, dude, you got to try this. They're like, yeah, this is insane. And like, there was like the legit guys that weren't just trying to sell us whatever, just sell whatever. They were like, no, man, like, I don't know how I got this, but this stuff is awesome. Like that's the cool part when you hear that.
Yeah.
But now there's a lot of side of it too. Like I love always talking to people about whenever I have people on the pod that like the medical side of it too. Like when my wife's aunt, my mother, Freudian slip there. No, so she has MS, but she like, you know, old school hippie from like the 60s, but she actually uses like a one hitter because of MS. She has like restless leg, and she got off of all sorts of medicines because of all these things. Now she's like kind of becoming a connoisseur of, well, I like this one better and I like that one better, which is cool. But like she found like the right strain mix.
Yep.
For like, it's the coolest thing. Like, I love the medicine side of it, of the plant. Yes. I mean, we all like to indulge. No,
I agree, because I've actually turned on a lot of, I don't want to mention any who they are, but a lot of older family members.
Yes.
Have gone from not even being totally about totally stigmatized about cannabis. And now yep. they're taking gummies to sleep at night and using it as a tool. I call it a very good, you know, like medicinally, and it's working great. And this is like three people in my family that I've switched totally eating gummies to enjoying it, to actually, you know, thinking like, what the hell was I thinking these last 40 years about this stuff, you know?
Oh, it's insane. Like, and there's, everybody's got a cool story, no matter who you talk to. And there's, you know, there's people that are way like far to the side, like, well, it's only the medicine. Like, yes, I get it. But you're still going to have there's a percentage of people that are just they're going to smoke and they're going to want to get banged up. And that's fine. But I mean, when you start to talk to people about all the benefits, or I was down in New Jersey last week at a one of the NECAN conferences. And I was talking to a guy that was a veterans association, and he's talking about how they help vets get off of all these opioids.
Yeah.
And we're just chatting and we're going into detail, and it just like, they tell your story, and you're just, he's like, I was taking a medicine for pain, I had to take a medicine to help me go to the bathroom because I couldn't because of the pain medicine. Then I had to take medicine to help me stop going to the bathroom. Then I had to take medicine for this. He's like, here's 25 things I take. And they just, people just, they just medicate the crap out of you. He goes, well, now he goes, but it's a process of how do you get off of it? Because there's some things that you can kind of screw yourself up if you try to go cold turkey, like you won't do good.
Right, right.
You're more likely to go back and you end up becoming an addict of some other friggin' drug, which he's like, that's not what you want.
And the cannabis is supposed to help you come off of those drugs also too. You know, what's the word I'm looking for?
No, it's all right.
Anxiety and stuff.
Yeah, the anxiety, of course. Yeah. Well, the addiction part of it too.
The addiction and anxiety of coming off of them is big, you know?
Oh, and some of them, they don't let you, he's like, they were talking about a lot of the medicines they give you, they're appetite suppressants. Like you don't ever eat. And he's like, okay, so now it's like, I can smoke weed. I can eat.
Right.
I can just, it's just a whole, like, he goes, I don't understand. And then we go down that whole process of, at some point, it's going to be a big federal thing. And then there's going to be all the sorts of money in it. It's just going to all be about governance and like who's following the rules and who's not following the rules. We're going to see it happen, hopefully, not to the extent where it pushes you and I out of it.
No, I don't think it will. I mean, I think we're okay.
Yeah, but it's such a cool, like when you start really diving into it and you're seeing that whole like side of it, that there's dudes that go to war for us that now they don't have to take all sorts of like nasty drugs.
Yeah,
because it's such a medicine, but it's cool as hell. So what are your favorite, like what do you think you're going to be popping for your next round of strains?
Well, we got some we just got a new round of stuff in, which was the apple fritter, biscotti mints, lemon OG haze, blue dream, brought the blue dream back for the people, Durban poison, which looks
that's awesome.
And then we have waffle cone and what's the other one we're dropping? Chocolate peaches.
So no, these are newer stuff.
And we're always trying to evolve. So I'll probably come back with, you know, in like 6 months with another round of stuff, you know. And of course, we got all the chems, Chem 4, Chem 91, Chem's Fruit Stand, which is a Skittles cross.
Do you try to mix them yourself? Do you try to do some of your own blending of like some of your?
Not here. Well, we did do a mixtape joint.
Okay.
Where we took three or four of the chems and mixed, you know, all the like, smaller buds of it, and people loved them.
They were interesting.
Awesome. Yes.
I didn't even think about on that side of it. I was thinking more of like making your own genetic, like taking your breeding part of it. I didn't really think
do that here. These guys don't want me making no freaking seeds in this place. Not yet.
No, not yet. But you know, you have to have, there's gonna, that's already a giant industry. It is the whole seed industry, but like you, like these people that like, I see, I love watching like dusting them in a building. I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, I could get
dusting, you ruin your whole building.
Oh, that could get ugly fast, but they're doing their thing. And I'm like, holy shit.
What I used to do is just use a pollen in a baggie and put it over the branch or a branch or a couple branches and then rubber band it.
And really?
Get there. And then it wouldn't really mess up. Back then, I wasn't seeding my whole plant because I needed weed to smoke. So,
yeah, of course.
I would only, you know, pollinate a branch or two when I did things like that.
And it worked just fine.
Yeah, it did fine. You know, it's all about the end of the rubber band, then spraying water so you don't get no other pollen out of the back.
Oh my God.
It worked fine. I never had any issues.
And there's, it'll be that one cooler like that'll seed up.
Branches that have, yeah. Yep.
Holy crap. That's like, that's legit, like old school
stuff. That's where I learned. Yeah, I read it in a book. I don't know what it was. It might have been some Robert Connell Clark book, I think, or something.
You're like, how do I figure out, how do I make seeds on one branch?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's the best, dude. You must have so many, like, I just love like the stories that like people that they go through and the evolution of it. But what about, so you said you blew glass too. So like, how did you get into that?
Just when I was on the Grateful Dead tour, I started seeing glass pipes and I was like, these are the fucking coolest things. So then I went out to Oregon and started buying glass from Snodgrass, Bob Snodgrass. And then I just ended up sitting at a shop for a couple weeks and just sitting down and really learning, showing me some things and me doing some things. And just went back home after that and just started blowing glass full time.
Oh my God.
I was blowing glass from like 93 till 2000, 2001. Then I took a break and just was growing weed for a while.
Holy crap. That's a long run.
So then I started blowing glass back after I got in trouble in 2011. So I started back up in 2012 till currently even, but I have less time now. I'm going to grow a lot more. So,
oh my God. But yeah, I bet you have some really cool stuff. And then too, as you started going around, because it was such a underground, it was like almost a fair festival style markets that you had to go to sell your wares.
Yeah.
you know, it was a rally or whatever, you know, you go to like, it was a festival and all of a sudden you have a table or a booth set up and that's where you're making your, that's
back really... in the dead lots. You would get your drive. You tell your friends you were going to be there at say a time, cause there was no cell phones and whatever, 92, 93. And I'd have people just meet me at my car and I'd be sold out before I 20 minutes, you know, as far as flower would go. If people knew God. I was bringing Kem, I had a few good people that would just scoff it all up, you know?
And you didn't have a limit. You didn't let you say a quarter.
No, I just sold out so I could enjoy my day.
So I'm going to sell you all.
I would try to make sure I'd sell. If I had three friends coming, I'd make sure they all would get some. You know?
Yeah, they'd all get some. And then you'd have some for later on.
Yep.
Don't sell it all though, because you still need to hype some for yourself.
I always had a big head stash. I always grew mostly for myself. You know, I didn't ever grow just to make, you know, pure. It wasn't really a profit thing.
Oh my God, that's funny. Yeah, we got to do a track. I want to know like all the, where, how many hands like your chem seed is, it's got to be in so much, there's so much cannabis across the US that.
Oh, it has to your, be.
There, it has to be. It has to be. That like that family tree is just got to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Like if it's gassy, it's you.
You, if you're, since you're in Rhode Island, you should come up to take a tour of the grow one of these times.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. I think we should plan it out. I know we have a few trade shows coming up, but like, yeah, definitely, man. Cause I come up to Western Mass a lot and cool. I'm up in Holyoke a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Store? No, have you been to Canna Provisions?
I have actually been to the store. It's like right off the highway. Like you get off the highway and it's like, you kind of like loop around and it's right there. So yep. I don't know which store, if that was the original one or if that was one of the first ones. But yeah, I have
second one. I think I believe Lee opened first out by the Berkshires.
Okay.
Hoyoke opened a few months later, I think. Or something.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I've been out to like, I've driven around New England a lot in a good way or bad. I've been to a lot of places and I've been to like Sticks and I'm like, I'll tell people, they'll say I'm from this place. I'm like, oh yeah, it's building looks like this. And they're looking at me like, holy shit, you've actually been here. I'm like, yeah, dude. Yeah. Like it was a dirt road that freaking looked like burnt out Afghanistan. But I'm like, you were building a grow in the back over there. But yeah, I definitely have to come up. But this is awesome, man. Thank you for spending some time talking with me about like your story and everything.
Anytime.
I love it. Like I can't say enough thanks about getting out there. And then too, it's like I would love to get you into some of our places too. I'd love to.
Yeah, you know, anytime.
Oh my God, you got to come and check it out. When you see people talking like how they're doing and how they're growing their crop steering and they're doing all these like cool things with our technology, you'd be like, holy shit, like wow, these guys, they figured it out
for sure.
Yeah, because oh my God, yeah. And then too, like we'll set some stuff up. But thanks for coming on the show. I mean, Greg,
Tony, this is wonderful. It was a pleasure, Tony. Anytime you need anything or anything, hit me up, man. I'm here.
To this episode of Grow Sessions. This podcast is brought to you by TSR Grow. I hope you learned something today. If you have any questions you'd like answered, please feel free to reach out to us through our social media channels or via our website, www.tsrgrow.com. Please don't forget to share this podcast and remember, keep cultivating.